RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Al-Azhar University plans to include Indonesian language in lecture subject. 532 planes operational for 2017 Lebaran transportation. Now the news in details. Al-Azhar University in Cairo, Egypt is interested to develop Indonesian language teaching. Since open in late December 2016, the Indonesian language course has received a very positive response from Egyptian students. It is proved by a large number of participants who enrolled and attended Indonesian language teaching classes. Researchers of the language agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture, as well as teachers of Indonesian language at the University of Al-Azhar, Egypt, Abdul Ghaffar Ruskan, told RRI that 85 participants, mostly Egyptian students, are divided into four classes. Abdul Ghaffar views that Al-Azhar University is interested in making Indonesian language course become the lecture subject.
Pengajaran BIPA baru pertama di Al-Azhar itu baru berbentuk kursus, belum masuk ke dalam mata pelajaran.
Indonesian language teaching is the first in Al-Azhar and it was not a subject in the faculty because it was only short of course. In fact, the faculty wanted it to be the part of the department in the university. The university viewed that it was a good opportunity to introduce Indonesian language to Egyptians, especially in Al-Azhar. Abdul Ghaffar further said that the plan is expected to be realized in the next 2 to 3 years. He added that in addition to Al-Azhar, Indonesian language teaching for foreign speakers or BIPA in Egypt has also been implemented at the Indonesian Culture Center and Indonesian Study Center at Kanal Suez University, Ismailia. Abdul Ghaffar pointed out that it is a good momentum to develop Indonesian language teaching at the oldest and largest university in the African region, and it should be managed properly. He said that the Ministry of Education and Culture, especially the language agency, needs to give more attention so that the Indonesian language could develop properly. Director General of Air Transportation at Indonesian Transportation Ministry, Agus Santoso, said in Soekarno-Hatta International Airport in Tangerang, Banten on Sunday, May 28, that 532 planes will be operational for the domestic and international trips during the 2017 Eid al-Fitri period. As many as 35 airports will be involved in serving the 532 planes. He further said that his site has set 275,256 low additional seats or 5% of regular capacity of 5.5 million seats since the 7 days before and after the Eid al-Fitri period. Meanwhile, for the overseas flights regular capacity, there will be 886,000 1,075 seats with additional 44,304 seats flight forecast, or 5%, so the total capacity reached 930,379 seats since 7 days after and before Idul Fitri period. The airlines that have applied for the additional flights include Garuda Indonesia, Sriwijaya Air, Indonesia Air Asia Extra, Malaysia Airlines, Singapore Airlines, Silk Air, Jetstar Asia Airways, and Cathay Pacific. Businessmen have welcomed the government plan to establish trade negotiations with Israel. The two countries currently have no diplomatic relations. The Indonesian Businessmen Association, or APindo, International Relations and Investment Director Sinta Wijaya Kamdani said on Monday, May 29, that the government shall separate political and economic affairs. Sinta pointed to the example of Indonesia's economic and trade relation with Taiwan despite the lack of political relations. She also said that the potential of the Indonesian and Israeli business and economic relations is significant as long as both parties can share mutual profit. Sinta added that Indonesian and Israeli businessmen have been engaging in trade through third countries. She said that the two countries may engage in agriculture, IT, and software business. Publicly listed independent power plant producer PT Cikarang Listrindo expects to complete the development of its new coal-fired power plant in Babelan, West Java, with a capacity of 2x140 megawatts before the end of the first half of this year. The new plant has a total investment value of $475.1 billion, about 91% of which had been disbursed by the company last year. Cikarang Listrindo said in a recent statement that the 2x140 megawatt coal-fired power plant will extend the company's installed capacity to anticipate the increasing domestic demand of electricity. As of 2016, Cikarang Listrindo was operating gas-based power plant with a total capacity of 864 megawatt, including 218 megawatt as backups unit operating when a gas turbine was undergoing maintenance or shutdown. A tourist village homestay program initiated by Indonesian Tourism Ministry has inspired regions across Indonesia to adopt the business model, the latest being in Gunung Mas Regency, Central Kalimantan, which will allocate funds to create a tourist village in Hurung Bunut Village, Gurun District, Gunung Mas Region. Arton S. Dohong has said recently that 2017 local government is going to allocate 10 billion rupiah, or around $751,000 of special allocation funds, DAK, from the state budget to build road infrastructure in Hurung Bunut Village, which is set to become a tourist village. Hurung Bunut Village is chosen due to its strong mutual cooperation among the residents and unique characteristic. The people in the village will be given training and monitoring from the National Tourist Village Council, as well as tools to improve the villagers' skill. Director General of Water Resources of Indonesian Public Works and Public Housing Ministry, Imam Santoso, is optimistic that the ministry could meet the target of building and rehabilitating irrigation systems in 2019. He said on Sunday that the building of new irrigation systems that the ministry is carrying out has already reached 43.91% from the target that has been set. He also stated that his ministry will work hard to reach the targets in 2019, and it is optimistic to reach the target. He added that the constructions of new irrigation systems done by provincial government has already reached 7.05%, while those done by city or regency governments have reached 8.55%. If calculated from the total target of 1 million hectares of new irrigation system, 28.04% has been reached. The last item. Indonesian state-owned airport operator PT Angkasa Pura II Corporate Secretary Agus Haryadi could not confirm yet when the driverless train in Soekarno-Hatta International Airport will have a trial run. Agus said on Monday, May 29, that the trial awaits confirmation from railway company WIKA to advance cars adopting the automated people mover system have now been mounted on Terminal 3 front railway track. Agus also stated that the train set comprises of two carriages with a total capacity of 176 people to carry passengers from Terminal 2 to Terminal 3 and vice versa. Angkasa Pura II Technical and Operational Director Joko Murjatmojo said that Soekarno-Hatta Airport SkyTrain project will have a trial run 2 weeks before Eid al-Fitri. He said that the operator is working on the Automated People Mover System or APMS operations to carry passengers in Terminal 2 and Terminal 3. Listener, that was the news from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. I'm Dinu Graha. Thank you for listening.
Over Indonesia, wherever you are. Thank you for joining the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Listener, the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 ended on April 30th, and now is the time you've been waiting for. The announcement of the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Based on the Indonesian Tourism Ministry letter dated on May 5th, 2017, on the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017, here are the winners. Mitsuaki Horike from Japan, Takashi Kawai from Japan, Akio Uemura from Japan, Prithviraj Purkayastha from India, Pradeep Chandra Kundu from India, Adita Pritika Subramanian from India, Titong Yang from China, Kong Lei from China, Chao Yanping from China, and Michael Cunningham from Australia. On behalf of Indonesian Tourism Ministry and Voice of Indonesia, we would like to congratulate all the winners. The winners are invited to visit Indonesia from May 27 until 31st, 2017. Those who have been mentioned as the winners in this announcement must complete their travel documents and prominent figure form and send them along with your photo to our email address, wiquiz2017@gmail.com. wiquiz2017@gmail.com. Once again, congratulations, and we are looking forward to seeing you in Indonesia.
Listener commentary today entitled Ramadan, a message of unity. Ramadan, the month awaited for Muslims around the world, has arrived. Ramadan is the ninth month of the Islamic calendar. Muslims around the world happily welcome Ramadan by performing fasting. For a full month, Muslims are not allowed to eat and drink and must keep their behavior from dawn to sunset. For the people of Indonesia, whose majority of population are Muslims, even the largest in the world, the month of Ramadan has also a very special meaning. Indonesian independence was proclaimed on August 17, 1945, coinciding with the 9th Ramadan, 1364 Hijriah on the Islamic calendar. Ramadan is a blessed month because it has brought together the Indonesian nation with its independence. The month of Ramadan is also momentum in unifying various kinds of tribes and ethnic groups into unitary state of Republic of Indonesia. Indonesia is a country rich with various tribes, cultures, and languages. Such diversity should be cemented and preserved because keeping unity is also advocated by Islam. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, through a video uploaded in his official YouTube and Instagram account, Friday 26 May 2017 night, congratulated all Muslims in Indonesia to have fasted. Also appealed that in the month of Ramadan, the people of Indonesia can increase the charity of worship and the sense of brotherhood and unity as a nation. Unity has been a hot issue lately when the Indonesian people are increasingly divided because of differences of opinion and polity, as well as issues of ethnic, religious, racial, and intergroup differences. In this month full of blessing, the Indonesian people should further strengthen unity. Indonesian independence proclaimed in the month of Ramadan will not be achieved if the Indonesian nation at the time did not unite. At the time, they have to release the differences in themselves and unite it into a nation of Indonesia that has the same goal, namely Indonesian independence. For the Indonesian people, Ramadan is the right momentum to always increase worship, to be mature or self-introspective, to reflect on themselves and to keep on fixing errors and mistakes. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listeners, nice to meet you again. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on May 29, 1953, about Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzin Norgay were the first to reach the summit of Mount Everest. Sir Edmund Percival Ed Hillary, who was born on 20 July 1919 and died on 11 January 2008, was a New Zealand mountaineer, explorer, and philanthropist. On 29 May 1953, Hillary and Nepalese Sherpa mountaineer Tenzin Norgay became the best climbers confirmed to have reached the summit of Mount Everest. They were part of the 9th British expedition to Everest led by John Hunt. Time magazine named Hillary one of the 100 most influential people on the 20th century. Hillary became interested in mountaineering while in the secondary school. He made his first major climb in 1939, reaching the summit of Mount Olivet. He served in the Royal New Zealand Air Force as a navigator during World War II. Prior to the 1953 Everest expedition, Hillary had been part of the British reconnaissance expedition to the mountain in 1951, as well as an unsuccessful attempt to climb Chow Oyu in 1952. As part of the Commonwealth Transatlantic Expedition, he reached the South Pole overland in 1958. He subsequently reached the North Pole, making him the first person to reach both poles and summit Everest. The next event is that the Heysol tragedy killed 32 supporters of Juventus FC. The Heysol Stadium disaster occurred on 29 May 1985 when escaping fans were pressed against a collapsing wall in the Heysol Stadium in Brussels, Belgium, before the start of the 1985 European Cup final between Juventus of Italy and Liverpool of England. 39 people, mostly Italians and Juventus fans, were killed and 600 were injured in the confrontation. Approximately an hour before the Juventus-Liverpool final was due to kick off, Liverpool supporters charged at Juventus fans and breached a fence that was separating them from a neutral area. This came after a period of hostility between the two sets of fans, which saw missiles thrown from both team supporters. The instigators of the violence are still unknown, with varying accounts. Juventus fans ran back on the terrace and waved from the street into a concrete retaining wall. Fans already standing near the wall were crushed. Eventually, the wall collapsed. Many people climbed over to safety, but many others died and were badly injured. The game was played despite the disaster, with Juventus winning 1-0. The tragedy resulted in all England football clubs been placed under an indefinite ban by UEFA from All England competition lifted in 1990-1991, with Liverpool being excluded for an additional 3 years, later reduced to 1, and 40 Liverpool fans found guilty of manslaughter and each sentenced to 3 years imprisonment. The disaster was later described as the darkest hour in the history of UEFA competitions. And the next event was in 1996 when President Suharto officially launched National Elderly Day. National Elderly Day is one of national days in Indonesia, which is annually commemorated on May 29th as a manifestation of awareness and respect for the elderly. According to Law No. 13, 1998 about the welfare of the elderly is a person who has been above 60 years old. National Elderly Day was officially launched by President Suharto in Semarang on May 29, 1996 to honor the service of Dr. Rajiman Wardjoningrat when he led the Presentation of Agency for Business Investigation of Preparation of Indonesian Independence. As a manifestation of respect for the elderly, the Indonesian government established National Commission on Protection of Elderly and launched the Elderly National Action Plan under Office of Coordinating Minister of People Welfare. The National Commission was established by Presidential Decree No. 52/2004. Listener, that was Student History. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, this is our rival service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The theme of today's focus is to jointly fight against terrorism. Stay tuned. The residents of Jakarta were struck by two suicide bombings at Kampung Melayu Terminal in East Jakarta on Wednesday, May 24, 2017. The terror bombing killed three police personnel and two suspected suicide bombers. In addition, the two bomb blasts wounded five civilians and six policemen. In response to these acts of terror, President Joko Widodo called on the people to remain calm and maintain unity. Moreover, the terror happened a few days before Ramadan. President Joko Widodo has ordered the chief of the nation's national police, General Tito Karnavian, to truly investigate terrorist networks and pursue them to their roots. President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla, accompanied by First Lady Iryana Joko Widodo and Medan Mupida Yusuf Kalla, late Tuesday visited the location of the bomb blast and also visited the victims of police Kramat Jati Hospital in East Jakarta. On the occasion, President Joko Widodo called on all parties to unite and to jointly fight against terrorism. He affirmed that there is no place in Indonesia for terrorism. President Joko Widodo also explained that the government is determined to immediately complete the revision of Anti-Terrorism Act with the House of Representatives, DPR, to facilitate the authorities in preventing terror attacks. The president stated that the problem of terror is not only a matter of Indonesia, because it has become a world problem.
Terorisme ini sudah menjadi masalah semua negara, sudah menjadi masalah dunia. Dan kalau kita lihat negara-negara yang lain,
this terrorism has become a problem for all countries, has become a world problem. And if you look at the other countries have laws and have the regulation that makes official issue to finish before. Therefore, our country wants the government and the House of Representatives, DPR, to immediately complete the revision of anti-terrorism law, so that it will make it easier for law enforcement officers to have a strong foundation in taking action and being able to make prevention efforts before the incident happens. This is the most important. Thus, the government is about to jointly cooperate with DPR because this is an urgent matter. The same thing was expressed by Vice President Yusuf Kalla. He explained that the government is pushing the House of Representatives DPR to finalize the revision of the terrorism law, which is still considered to be less for preventive measure than the act of prosecution. The revision of terrorism law is expected to fully involve the role of the state intelligence agency BIN, the police and the armed forces DNI, including the role of the public in order to prevent terrorism and radicalization that could disrupt the security and stability of the nation and state. Vice President Yusuf Kala said the acts of terror aimed to create fear to the public with a series of radical acts leading to the death toll. Terrorist action is judged to prove the extent to which the strength of terrorist networks to create anxiety and fear to the people and the state. He also remarked that the government is trying to eradicate acts of terrorism and radicalization to the root of a number of terrorist networks that allegedly still exist in Indonesia. The vice president also asked the public not to be frightened and to remain calm with a number of terror threats. Meanwhile, Chairman of the House Commission 1, Abdul Alam Shahari, also said that Indonesian nations should not be neither afraid to face the threat of terrorist bombs nor terrorized from the perpetrators at bombing in the Kampung Melayu bus terminal. The Indonesian nation must unite and together build awareness that terror is a common enemy to be eradicated and anticipated. Abdul Alam Shahari also hopes that there will be synergies among agencies to immediately analyze the causes and to provide full policy recommendations. Intelligent personnel must increase detection and early warning capacity as well as increase the capacity of early prevention in the center of the crowd. He affirmed that Kampung Melayu bombing action is a crime against humanity. Listener, that was Focus. Thanks for listening.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with News in Brief. I'm Dinugraha. Al-Azhar University in Cairo, Egypt is interested to develop Indonesian language teaching. Director General of Air Transportation at Indonesian Transportation Ministry Agus Santoso said in Soekarno-Hatta International Airport in Tangerang, Banten on Sunday, May 28, that 532 planes will be operational for the domestic and international trips during the 2017 Eid al-Fitri period. Businessmen have welcomed the government plan to establish trade negotiations with Israel. Publicly listed independent power plant producer PT Cikarang Listrindo expects to complete the development of its new coal-fired power plant in Babelan, West Java, with a capacity of 2 times 140 megawatts before the end of the first half of this year. A tourist village homestays program initiated by Indonesian Tourism Ministry has inspired regions across Indonesia to adopt the business model. Director General of Water Resources of Indonesian Public Works and Public Housing Ministry Imam Santoso is optimistic that the ministry could meet the target of building and rehabilitating irrigation systems in 2019. The last item, Indonesian state-owned airport operator PT Angkasa Pura II Corporate Secretary Agus Haryadi could not confirm yet when the driverless train in Soekarno-Hatta International Airport will have a trial run. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. I'm Dinugraha. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Over Indonesia, wherever you are. Thank you for joining the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Listener, the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 ended on April 30th, and now is the time you've been waiting for. The announcement of the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Based on the Indonesian Tourism Ministry letter dated on May 5th, 2017, on the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017, here are the winners. Mitsuaki Horike from Japan, Takashi Kawai from Japan, Akio Uemura from Japan, Prithviraj Purkayasta from India, Pradeep Chandra Kundu from India, Adita Pritika Subramanian from India, Titong Yang from China,
Gong Lei from China, Zhao Yangping from China, and Michael Cunningham from Australia. On behalf of Indonesian Tourism Ministry and Voice of Indonesia, we would like to congratulate all the winners. The winners are invited to visit Indonesia from May 27 until 31st, 2017. Those who have been mentioned as the winners in this announcement must complete their travel documents and prominent figure form and send them along with your photo to our email address, wiquiz2017@gmail.com, wiquiz2017@gmail.com. Once again, congratulations, and we are looking forward to seeing you in Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Rongkang Beach, Bangkalan, Madura. Stay tuned. Listeners, besides being rich with typical foods, Madura Islands has also beautiful scenery. One of them is Rongkang Beach in Bangkalan, Madura. Rongkang Beach is located at West Kuanyar Village, Kuanyar Sub-District, Bangkalan Sub-District, Madura, around 35 kilometers at the south of Bangkalan City. It has interesting scenery and it is worth being visited. Listeners, Rongkang Beach has many beautiful views such as stones which are lined up along the beach, hills, which have around 20 meters until 30 meters high above sea level. Beautiful corals with various types, shady trees, which makes you longer to enjoy panorama of the beach and also the cold breezy. The weather around the beach is sometimes quite blazing in the afternoon. When let in the evening, you will be presented extraordinary beautiful and exotic view. The lights shining from ships which are sailing at Madura Straits become beautiful scenery, and reflection lights from Surabaya City at the beauty of night at Rongkang Beach. Listeners, if you want to enjoy the beauty of Rongkang Beach, you do not have to worry about difficulty to go to the beach because you can read signboard or ask local people. If you use public transportation, there is also no difficulty because you can use public transportation which is ready to deliver you to your destination. If you come from out of Madura Island, you can choose two accesses, namely by using ship to cross to Kamal Seaport or via Surabaya Bridge. From the seaport, to go to Rongkang Beach has a distance around 12 kilometers and takes only 30 minutes. If you are via Surabaya Bridge, the trip only takes 15 minutes, with a distance around 5 kilometers. Listeners, the beach is called Rongkang from the word ngerongkang, meaning perforated, due to process of the nature. Because abrasion causes rocks and corals to become perforated and forming interesting hollow reef at the beach is known as Rongkang Beach. Before you go to Rongkang Beach, you must bring your own food and beverage, and please do not forget to bring your own camera, because at the beach you can take photographs with Suramadu Bridge as the background. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invite you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Makan Siang, in English, Having Lunch. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Makan siang. Makan siang. In English, lunch. Tadi. Tadi. In English, just now. Makan. Makan. In English, to eat. Mengapa. Mengapa. In English, why? Makanan ringan. Makanan ringan. In English, snacks. Lapar. Lapar. In English, hungry. Ingin. Ingin. In English, to want. Tidak ada. Tidak ada. In English, nothing. Menemani. Menemani. In English, to accompany. Pekerjaan, pekerjaan, in English, job or work. Menyelesaikan, menyelesaikan, in English, to finish. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Makan Siang, or in English, Having Lunch. The conversation is between A, Ana, and B, Ani, at the office. A. Apakah kamu sudah makan siang? Apakah kamu sudah makan siang? In English, have you had lunch? B. Tadi saya makan sedikit makanan ringan. Tadi, saya hanya makan sedikit makanan ringan. In English, I've just eaten a few snacks. A. Mengapa? Mengapa? In English, why? B. Perut saya lapar, ingin makan. Perut saya lapar, ingin makan. In English, I'm hungry and want to eat. tapi tidak ada yang menemani saya makan. Tapi tidak ada yang menemani saya makan. In English, there's nobody to accompany me to eat. Maukah kamu menemani saya makan siang? Maukah kamu menemani saya makan siang? In English, would you mind accompanying me to have lunch? A. Pekerjaan saya sudah selesai. Pekerjaan saya sudah selesai. In English, I have finished my work. Saya juga sudah lapar. Saya juga sudah lapar. In English, I'm also hungry. Jadi bisa menemani kamu makan siang. Jadi bisa menemani kamu makan siang. In English, so I should accompany you to have lunch. B. Baiklah, mari kita ke kantin. Baiklah, mari kita ke kantin. In English, alright, let's go to canteen. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again tomorrow with another topic. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Indonesian Keroncong songs by Maestro Indonesian Keroncong Gesang. Well, listeners, let's listen to the song entitled Bengawan Solo.
Solo, airmu dari Solo. Berburung gunung seribu, air mengalir sampai jauh, akhirnya
listeners, the song entitled Bengawan Solo was composed by Gesang. Gesang Marto Hartono, or known as Gesang, was born in Surakarta, Central Java, on October 1, 1917. Prior to bearing the title of Maestro Kroncong, Gesang started as a Kroncong singer for the event, or small party in Solo City. During World War II, Gesang had composed several songs such as Kroncong Roda Dunia, Kroncong Si Piatu, and Saput Tangan. Unfortunately, all three of his works have not received a good response from the people at the time. However, Gesang continues to work. One of his legendary works is the Bengawan Solo songs you have heard. The song was written in 1940. At the time, Gesang, who was 23-year-old, got inspiration while sitting on a diet of Bengawan Solo. The song also received high appreciation from both Indonesia and abroad. In fact, the work of the Kroncong Maestro has been translated into 13 foreign languages. Well, listeners, let's listen to the next song, entitled Dunia Berdamai by Gesang. Happy listening.
Mana dunia berdamai.
suasana perhubungan laksana dunia berangkai suatu
You have just listened to Keroncong song entitled Dunia Berdamai, which describes a state when the world is peaceful without hatred. Listeners, still about Maestro Indonesia Keroncong, Gesang, do you know? Although his name is quite large in the Indonesian music, Gesang is rumored to live poorly and alone. Because of his great contribution to develop of Keroncong music in Indonesia, toward the end of his life, many media preached Gesang's condition just before he passed away. On May 18, 2010, Gesang's health was reportedly worsening. Day after day, Gesang's condition continued to decline, so that the hospital where he was hospitalized formed a special team consisting of 5 specialists. Finally, on Thursday, May 20, 2010 in Surakarta, Gesang passed away. However, his works are still remembered by the people of Indonesia. Listeners, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the next song entitled Sebelum Aku Mati and Seto Ohashi. Happy listening and sampai jumpa. Masa hidup
hidupku. Sebelum aku mati, lambaian tanganku, panggilan abadi.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.